Good morning, and you're listening to Business IQ Radio on 105.1 WBNH FM. We are a non-commercial, non-political show coming to you out of Bedford Community Radio, and I'm one of your hosts, Andrea O'Brien, and I'm here with my favorite co-host, Don Byrne. Hey, Don.
Hello, Andrea. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you, and very excited about this particular show.
Yeah, this is going to be very interesting, especially based on some of the previous discussions we've been having around really entrepreneurism and the effort to try to generate entrepreneurism at a younger age here. So
young entrepreneurs, they are our future, and we really have to make sure that they're prepared to carry the flag forward.
Especially in the area of drone production, I think.
Except for drone production.
Okay, yeah,
except
right.
for that. So.
Well, what can you tell us a little bit? Can you give us a little bit of background that maybe sets the stage? Because I think we're going to have a limited time with our guest. But maybe tell me the context. Because, and again, for the listeners, Andrea is being with the Small Business Development Center over at University of New Hampshire in Manchester. Has an unbelievable Rolodex. She and her colleagues know everybody in and around the state, and it's a real delight and pleasure to be working with her, and she's done a great job of recruiting people for us. And you brought this BizGen initiative to my attention, which I have to admit I'm a little embarrassed to say I didn't know a lot about. So that's the context for today's discussion, right?
That's right. So in a previous show, we had Ken Johnson, the director of BizGen, the founder and director of BizGen, which is a nonprofit organization with the mission of inspiring the next generation of entrepreneurs. And the participants of this contest, it's a contest.
Like a Shark Tank kind of contest, right?
It is. It's like a Shark Tank. So young entrepreneurs come up, high school students, let's be more specific, high school students come up with a business idea of their own. It can be a high-tech idea. It can be a low-tech idea. And they work with a teacher to put together a business from the plan to the financials to sourcing the materials to engineering the design, understanding the markets. You know, you've watched Shark Tank on television, have you?
I have not.
What?
No. Having been in that business, I don't need to listen to those people.
Oh, it's very entertaining. And so BizGen is a kinder but still similar format where students will make a pitch to a panel of investors, not investing in their company, but in general their venture or angel individuals. And it's very exciting. And you can really see the students get fully engaged, especially during the presentations where they really take a lot of pride in spotlighting what they've done. And it's, you know, their ability to master technology in those presentations is very impressive.
Well, I used to attend the MIT Enterprise Forum, and the Worcester Polytech had an Enterprise Forum as well. I think a similar format, although for legitimate companies looking to recruit executives and raise money. And it was an opportunity for them to put their business plan out there and get, you know, very direct, very hard feedback, which is the best thing that can happen to you. And so they played a very interesting role in terms of helping companies develop. I used to tell my students, I used to assign and tell them you have to go to at least one of these during the course to get a sense of, you know, what it's like. And they used to present, I think, three or four in an evening's event, and you get a real bunch of interesting contrasts. So these are all very valuable, and doing it at a young age, however, has got to be real demanding, because I'm guessing that they're helping these students also develop social skills, presentation skills, writing skills.
Just looking at someone in the eye, right? I mean, presentation skills, as you know, throughout a career is very important, and the kids really do a great job. So, you know, there are 190 high schools in the state.
I didn't realize there were that many, yeah.
Mm-hmm. 107 are public and 83 are private. And BizGen is a opportunity for all of them. Only a handful of schools participated this past year, and so I'd encourage anybody in our listening audience, if you live in a town with a high school, bring it to their attention that this is an opportunity for students to explore entrepreneurship.
Now, is our guest today, is he a Bedford High School student or?
Our guest today is a Derryfield student.
Oh, okay.
Derryfield sent two teams to BizGen.
Great.
Unfortunately, Bedford didn't have any teams participate in BizGen this year, but there's always next year. So the students make teams. They have a teacher that mentors them. I was an outside mentor, so I worked with a few of the teams. And it was
rewarding experience.
A very rewarding experience. Our listeners could... If you have an interest in business, I mean, if you're a businessman and or woman, I'm sure they'd love to have you as a mentor.
So, right. So we'll have to ask our guest, and we can even go back to Ken, who gave us information about how to be part of the program. He's also involved with the FIRST program, which I think is a robotics initiative started by Dean Kamen, another one of our prominent Bedford residents. But I think off air, you were telling me about one of the teams that created some kind of a device involved with chemistry that got a lot of attention. Could you refresh my memory there?
ChemiCube was the winner. And so I am a chemistry major, and I know I spent a lot of time pipetting fluids to conduct the experiment, which actually teaches you the concept.
It's funny because whenever I watch Sherlock Holmes or any of the CSI, they just pour stuff right in. They don't
even measure.
Not a problem, yeah.
Well, ChemiCube allows you to get an exact dosage, if you will, of whatever material you're measuring, and you don't have to spend all that time or even depend on your own abilities as you know, your technical ability to pipette these kinds of liquids. And they have already won. ChemiCube has won, I think, a few competitions. But that's right out of Merrimack High School.
I think you told me they've actually sold a couple of these.
I don't know about that, but they are very bright students.
I think I remember Ken saying something about they actually had a couple of sales or something. It was a couple of weeks back, so I don't exactly remember. But this is an exciting area.
So with the student,
yeah,
we also have his teacher. Dr. Marco Massoni, and who himself is a entrepreneur.
Yeah, he's an escapee from Silicon Valley, right?
Silicon Valley. I think he spent some time in, I want to say New York City also, and he's a lawyer as well, or he's got a law degree.
Oh, okay.
And now he's at the Derryfield School. And
he'll
so,
be phoning in. He won't be here in the studio with us, right? The student will be, but
right.
He'll just be phoning in.
Yeah, he had a pretty busy schedule this afternoon.
No, I think he has three young children as well. Impacts his.
Right.
That always keeps you moving, always keeps you busy.
So Pratt is, his business was OxyHealth. I shouldn't say his. He had a team.
Right.
And it was very interesting, and I know he'll want to tell us about that.
Yeah, I think it'll also be interesting to ask him, you know, flat out, has this influenced his career? Because he's, I think you told me he is either just graduating or has recently graduated. And, you know, you have to wonder.
He's going to Northeastern next year.
Oh, he is.
Studying mechanical engineering.
Okay. So it'll be interesting to see if this influenced him in any way, shape, or form to do this, which would really help with the legitimacy of these kinds of programs. So how young do you see people coming in to get counseling? Are there young people that approach SBDC to get help with starting businesses?
There are. I have a...
Not a lemonade stand. I mean something beyond that.
Yeah, no. Really amazing. There are some amazing young adults. And SBA recognizes these individuals who are young entrepreneurs, and they actually have a special award given once a year. There was a call for another recognition. I think that there's, you know, the Young Professionals Network, or maybe it was Work, Stay, Play. Or is that play, work, stay?
I don't know.
Do you play first?
I don't know.
I think you stay first, and then you work, and then you play. But they want, they ask for nominations. If anyone knew, you know, nominate a young entrepreneur. So we do see young entrepreneurs, and they are energetic and full of great ideas and really fresh. So,
are they mostly in the technology area, or are they low tech as well?
Both.
Really?
Both. Yep. But they always have that certain something that's so important to millennials, which is it healthy? Is it the right brand? Does it give back? Is it making your life better? And there always seems to be a give back component.
Well, it's good to see that there's a vibrant undercurrent here in New Hampshire and in the Bedford area of people that are innovating and doing a lot of things. We've said a few times that we want to really reach out to Bedford High School, and because they do have other activities that they are very active in. I know they didn't participate in BizGen, but they are active in some other areas. I think they've done very well in the area of robotics. And, mm-hmm. You know, that's, again, a burgeoning area. I was just reading recently about...
drones.
Well, it didn't have to happen to be drones, although I do read about drones when I can. But it was about two factories in China laying off 60,000 employees and replacing them with robots.
Mm.
So even in areas that we traditionally think of as being very inexpensive labor, mm-hmm. It can't compete with some of the developments. This, you know, this technology is rapidly developing, and I think it would be a very interesting show because it has a lot of social implications as well as financial and economic implications to us. And in the community, there was a discussion even about, you know, there is a movement afoot to a discussion around the minimum wage and at what point in time does robotics come into play and how intelligent and, you know, can we look forward to at some point in time having McDonald's drive-ins being managed or being serviced by robotic arms? I mean,
right.
It's just very interesting area.
You know, I talked to a logger today, and he said that there's actually a robot that will go in and cut the tree down.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as I think, well, that no one's going to get hurt doing that. Maybe the robot will get hurt. But so it's interesting how what we think of as being just a very straightforward industry, logging, is actually impacted by robots.
Yeah, and there's a lot of discussion, as you probably know, among the military. I believe that they have already tested a robot that is capable of going out on the battlefield and retrieving injured soldiers and sort of picking them up, putting them in a, you know, almost like a mini ambulance and bringing them back safely. It's a low profile so that it's not something that would attract a lot of attention. And quite frankly, if you see something like that going, maybe with a big red cross on it, maybe some people will let it get by. So fascinating world, all kinds of interesting things going on.
So I'm really looking forward to hearing from Pratt, and I think that and his teacher. So
yeah.
Shall we?
Yeah. So why don't we do that again? What is the teacher's name? Is
Dr. Marco Massoni.
Very, very good. So let's. I think he's going to be calling in. So why don't we get ready to do that?
Well, I'd like to welcome our guest today, Dr. Marco Massoni, who is the director of STEAM and Innovation at the Derryfield School in Manchester.
Hello, Dr. Massoni. Glad to have you with us today.
It's a pleasure to be with you on the show.
Great. Dr. Massoni also is the AP computer science teacher. He coaches computer programming. And last semester, he led two Derryfield STEM classes in a contest that was sponsored through UNH called BizGen, and we have one of the students in the studio with us today as well, Pratt Ravel. Hi, Pratt.
Hi, pleasure to be here.
Hi, Pratt. I understand that you are a Bedford resident.
I am indeed.
Well, welcome to Bedford Radio. This is WBNH 105.1, the Business IQ show. Glad to have you here with us.
So the show today is going to focus on young entrepreneurship, the importance of STEAM or STEM, and, you know, what's kind of happening in the greater Manchester area with regard to that. So, Marco, I'd like to start with you. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you ended up at Dairyfield being the director of STEAM?
Sure. I recently moved to Manchester, so I've been in this position a little less than a year. This is my first year at the school. And prior to that, I was also director of STEAM at an independent school in Los Angeles. And years ago, I was trained as an attorney, and I've had a couple of startups under my belt. And it was while I was in law school that I kind of fell in love with teaching and decided ultimately to make it my central vocation. And I've been immersed in STEAM and STEM and all things technology-related and interdisciplinary for quite some time.
That's great. You know, I've met you, and I know you're not, you know, I don't want to guess your age, but you yourself seem to be kind of a young entrepreneur. And so when you were doing your startups, and I'd like you to tell us a little bit about those startups, you know, you certainly were a young entrepreneur back then.
And you're not saying that he's a young entrepreneur because you're looking at me who's an old entrepreneur. Is that what it stands for,
That's
Andrea?
Right. Okay. That's correct.
I like to think of myself as an older, seasoned entrepreneur.
Right. So. Right now. But back then when you were doing your... So can you tell us a little bit about the two startups?
Yeah. Well, one was in the more distant past. One was in the more recent. My first startup was in 98, 99, 2000. We essentially came up with an idea that was seemed crazy at the time, that people would want to make their own videos and post them, and that those videos could be about anything. So a lot of people were skeptical when we did this, and ultimately, and it was called DScoop. If you go on the Wayback Machine, which is a wonderful tool on the internet that archives the internet.
Oh, really? You're not making that up? There is really?
No.
There's
I'm
really
not.
A Wayback Machine?
Well, when you think about it, because
I've
taught history, and so it's quite important to acknowledge and recognize the history of digital history. And the history that includes the history of the internet. How else do you access it but for tools like Wayback Machine, which literally will continuously archives pages from the internet?
Wow.
Yeah.
Very good.
It's very cool stuff. So if you look up DScoop, you see when we were active, and you can actually see some of the main pages from the time we were active. So essentially it was YouTube before YouTube, mm-hmm. Minus the phenomenal success of YouTube, of course.
Don't think about that.
No, I don't dwell on it. I'm not bitter or anything like that. What it taught me was so much is you know, you make mistakes, but sometimes those mistakes that you make when you're an entrepreneur are forgiven by circumstances or luck. And a lot of it really comes down to timing. So our timing wasn't quite right. Mm-hmm. And YouTube's timing, I mean, they executed well, but their timing was also spot on.
Yeah.
So that was my first startup. And my second more recent startup in 2010 was a social learning site called Einstein. And essentially we were facilitating online discussions between students and people interested in online courses. We were also offering the ability to access free online courses easily, because when we started out, there were more and more, increasingly there were a lot of online courses, but no one was cataloging them and reviewing them for quality and making them easily accessible.
Hmm.
So we did that for a time. We partnered up with Harvard, Stanford, some big names, and did some good work. And ultimately, that was my second startup, and I you could say the second failure. But again, I don't really see it that way, because I had a great time doing it, learned a lot, and ultimately it informs everything I do with the students, and I think it makes me a stronger teacher.
Well, I've been in your classroom, and you definitely connect to the students very well, and you bring so much experience. I think they're very lucky to have you as their teacher. And you really have covered, you know, the education and the technology so well to bring the class you were teaching into the BizGen competition. Could you explain to our listeners a little bit about the acronym STEAM?
Sure. So STEM, I'll give you a quick history because it's kind of interesting. STEM, as an acronym, people know it as Science, Technology, Engineering, Math, and it used to be referred to as SMET, which surprises most people because it's such an ugly version of the acronym. But an enterprising soul at the National Science Foundation, I believe, thought it would sound better if you switched the letters around, and that was the birth of STEM. And in a sense, STEM is a brand. It's a brand for an approach to teaching and learning. And since the time that STEM kind of came into existence, which is really not all that long ago, it has evolved considerably, and including the introduction of the A, which stands for the arts. There are also other variations, STREAM for research, and many, many permutations. But the reason why we use STEAM to refer to instead of STEM, or in addition to STEM, I should say, is because what we recognize is the creative problem solving that's integral to STEM, to the science, technology, engineering, and math. So we emphasize that, and we also see it as an additional access point for people who might not see themselves as roboticists or physicists.
That's great. So you engaged two of your classes, and we have one of your students here in the studio with us, Pratt Ravel. And I'd like to ask Pratt to talk a little bit about the BizGen competition at UNH and kind of what was that like?
So I never really...
Or at least, you know, how did it start at the classroom level? Like, what got you
what
interested?
What intrigued you?
Right. So I'd always been into the more traditional STEM, not so much STEAM, the science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And I think the STEM class that I took with Dr. Missoni really brought out my creative problem-solving skills and through things like Posse Car Challenge. And so throughout the year, he kind of built to this ultimate objective of going to BizGen and participating in the startup competition, which kind of took us by surprise at first as a class. But I think we learned to kind of embrace it and work with it and, like, really get to know it. And I definitely opened my eyes to entrepreneurship and something I'd never really thought of before. And now ideas are always swimming in my head in terms of different companies that I can start up. And I think that class really did it. BizGen was definitely a fun experience. Going to a startup competition was great, and seeing all the different ideas and the different levels of execution that they were at between, like, companies that had already launched products or companies that were still in the concept stage, and seeing kind of a progression there and what professional business experts had to say about it.
And these were all teams of students, and I don't think we mentioned this, but you are a rising freshman in college.
You
just graduated from Derryfield. Where are you going next year?
I'm going to Northeastern to study mechanical engineering.
Well, they're lucky to have you.
Thank you.
Can I ask you about how many other people? You mentioned it was a team. How many other people were on
team
with you?
We started with about 12, and through a different program offered at Derryfield called the ISP program, where seniors can take internships elsewhere, our numbers kind of dwindled, and eventually we were a team of 5 people, and so we were doing quite a bit of work. But it was quite fun, and it kind of I like that startup mentality and that, like, fast-paced progression.
So Dr. Missoni is having an impact on you in multiple ways. He's giving you the hunger here to be an entrepreneur and get out there, take on the world. Well done.
So Dr. Missoni, you were successful at engaging the students to participate in BizGen. Is there some advice you could give to other schools or other teachers at schools that could encourage their participation in such a, endeavor?
Boy, I don't really. I think I had the luxury of a year or 6 months building up to this. Even though, it, as Pratt said, I took them a little bit by surprise. I knew that I hadn't intended to necessarily participate in BizGen because I wasn't sure that they would be ready for it. But I had intended to move toward entrepreneurship. So the way I moved into entrepreneurship prior to that was by first laying the foundation with design thinking, and then innovation. And they were really aimed at doing two things. One was introducing students to a process where they can feel comfortable about how to problem solve, how to iterate through different solutions, how to feel confident about the inquiry process of asking questions and then testing out different answers. So I think it's really essential that you spend the time, immerse students in a process. And design thinking is a great process. It comes out of Stanford. It's, think of it as the engineering design process, but it's not just for engineering. And then really what we spent the next few months working on was looking at innovation. What does that mean? Because if you're creating a startup, you want it to be innovative in some way. It doesn't mean that it has to introduce a product that has never been existed before, but you have to have something innovative that you're adding to the mix, to the market, whether it's providing a service slightly differently or very differently, or putting a spin on an existing product. So getting your students acquainted with innovation, but also understanding that innovation requires that you engage in not just problem solving, but creative problem solving. And that's where the A in STEAM is so essential, because the creativity is not just in the artistic sense. People, I think, tend to think of the arts as being reductive. You're only looking at something in a decorative way, but actually creativity is the understanding that when you have a problem, you have to go wherever that problem takes you. And it may take you into STEM, or it may take you into something completely different. And it's interesting, because maybe Pratt can speak to this, but the problem that one of our students on the team identified was took us in a direction that no one really anticipated. And I think there were some doubts initially about that direction. But ultimately, I think the success of the pitch at BizGen proved that there was some value to the direction that the team finally took.
Did you find, Pratt, that as you worked as a team in your classroom, you know, as Dr. Massoni just pointed out, that ideas kind of developed and it took a life of its own on? Or
certainly. So we started out with a company that was nowhere even close to what we actually ended up with. It was actually a rock climbing company. And from there, we kind of took a major pivot with, like, one of our teammates told a story about a time when he was volunteering at a hospital. And from there, it took a major pivot into the healthcare industry. And from there, we were bouncing around all over the place. And eventually, we found the best way to really bring healthcare to the masses is through environmental health consulting, which is what our final company ended up being.
So tell us the name. Oh, I'd like to just say that you're listening to WBNH FM 105.1, Bedford Community Radio. And I also want to be cognizant of the fact that Dr. Massoni has another appointment that he has to go to. And I'd like to take this time to thank him for speaking with us today and sharing his expertise in education and STEAM. So, Dr. Massoni, thank you so much.
It was my pleasure. And I look forward to hearing what Pratt has to say offline. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, as you were saying, Pratt.
Oh, yes. So, our company for BizGen was called Ox Health, or OX Health. We really couldn't get the name down. And We
first of all, who came up with the name?
So it started off as, this kind of goes back to the story of how this came to be. It started off as X Medical, and we were a medical device company. And from there, we kind of migrated to OX Health because orange is often a symbol for health. And so we kind of migrated there, and then we learned about the expression healthy as an ox, so we became Ox Health. But we kind of was, in our heads, we were still kind of X Medical, so we were kind of migrating back and forth between
those.
So,
you know, the reason I asked you that question, right? Because when you do a startup, the two most controversial topics that you came up with is, what do you call the company and what does the logo look like? Those are the two biggest issues that cause disputes among the various partners and entrepreneurs. So,
well, we got through the logo problem pretty quickly. We had an experienced graphic designer on our team.
Okay.
So we were left with the name. Okay, so OX Health, what it is it's an environmental health consulting company. And so what we will do is we will go into a building, say the WBNH studio, and we will perform a diagnostic. And from that, we will generate an action report. And we will present that to the building administration. And from there, our goal is to push different technologies that prevent the spread of disease in public places and in different environments. And from there, we can either install it for you, we can leave you with that report, however far you want us to take, our service. And initially, we were going towards marketing it for schools. But the biggest thing we learned from BizGen and the feedback we got at BizGen is actually that restaurants and other public places would actually be more benefited from this. And
so more of the retail environment.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. So in the wake of the Chipotle incident and the whole scare that came with that, and we kind of learned about this opportunity that we would find in the restaurant service industry. And after we gave our pitch, we were actually approached by a representative from the Napoli Group who works in and owns the 40-something McDonald's in the Seacoast area. And they explained to us what a massive impact something like this would have in terms of saving money on healthcare costs and saving money on sanitation costs with things like antimicrobial copper. So antimicrobial copper, I can get into it if you want me to. It's
not too technical. I'm on the other side of the microphone here. So
so it's effectively a copper alloy that is actually found to be antimicrobial. It will kill E. coli within a matter of hours, MRSA within a few days, which is what really drew us to it, is my friend who inspired this whole healthcare pivot had MRSA in seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
And he contracted MRSA from a boy's locker room, which mm-hmm. is supposed to be cleaned regularly. So sure. Clearly what's already existing is not good enough.
Yeah, sure. Sure. Well, very interesting. And, you know, congratulations to the McDonald's company who recognized and gave you some advice, because that tells me that they take this issue seriously if they're always looking to improve. Which
see, one
is
of
terrific.
The one of the areas I thought I heard your presentation. It was excellent. I thought college campuses, because they've had meningitis scares and the norovirus. You know, it just seemed to be the ones that were recently on the news right around the time that you were developing your pitch.
So tell me a little bit more. What in fact did your entry into the program require? Did you have to build a cash flow? Did you have to identify specific targets? Do sales forecasting? Explain how you're going to market the product? What was sort of the elements of components?
It was the full nine yards. So we had to create a 10-page business plan, and that involved marketing, sales, cap table, financial data, everything from the pitch down to who's going to get to keep what of the profit to pricing and everything. It was a very comprehensive plan. And it was interesting for us because as a class, none of us were really experienced in doing any of this. So it was a learning process for everybody in turn. Like, none of us knew what a cap table really was before we started this. None of us really knew how to create a financial model or a marketing
model.
You're
talking about a capitalization table, right?
Yes.
For our listeners. Yeah.
And so it was really a huge learning experience for us, and I learned so much about business, and it's something. It's not really something that I'd thought about before, but now it's on
my radar. Did your did your teammates also get a lot out of it? I mean, you seem like you really enjoyed the process. How did they? How do you think they did?
Oh, definitely. It was stressful at times, of course, as any startup experience is. But eventually, I think that it all paid out. And at BizGen, we performed beautifully and we rehearsed well. And a couple of us, a couple of my teammates, really knew the stagecraft well. So we really rehearsed it down to the T and kind of used his expertise in theater to kind of get that down in a matter of minutes before we even gave the pitch. So.
Now, have you watched the TV show Shark Tank?
Yeah.
Did you feel a little bit like you were in a Shark Tank?
Oh, definitely. The three judges sitting right there, and we're giving a pitch, and all of us are up there, and the presentation wall in the back. It was definitely a little nerve-wracking sitting there. It felt like I was in a Shark Tank. The judges were a lot like the sharks are in real
life. I think they were actually investors.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in a BizGen business, but in other businesses, right. They've had that experience.
Yeah. And it was great to get advice from them, too, like what I said with the restaurants. We never would have thought of it unless we had gone to BizGen.
Terrific. So your entry was Ox Health. Can you give me a sense of what the other entries, who were you sort of up against? What were some of the other ideas that were presented?
Yes. Yeah, so
maybe I'll find a new business if I take one of those ideas.
Yes, so there were the competition was divided into four divisions, and each of the divisions had between four and five teams, and from there, the winner of each of the four divisions would move on to a final round, and so the final round was very interesting. It was composed of a few teams. It measured out chemicals for chemistry teachers or labs who are constantly repeating solutions, and it was very accurate to that degree, and they'd already sold a few units. They were definitely the favorite.
They were from Merrimack, I think.
They were from Merrimack.
And was it ChemCube?
ChemCube. Yeah, it was called ChemCube.
An amazing
device. The other three. One was called Just in Case. It was a case that was supposed to phone emergency services in either a rape incident or a mugging incident by just the flick of a switch on the side of the case. That was one of them. The other one was, it was called Lax Locks. So in Girls Across, a common issue is pocket depth can change during the match and a goal can be scored, but if the pocket is not regulation size after the goal, then the goal is completely discounted. So it's a tiny little plastic square that you can tie your string around on the back of the lacrosse stick, and it's supposed to keep the pocket in place. And that won second place, actually, in the competition. Third place went to a company called BookBit, which aims to make textbooks cheaper for students by charging by the section or by the page rather than charging for the full book when you might not need the full book.
A demand printing application of some type.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it was actually all digital, too.
Yeah.
So you could either get the print or the digital.
Which means they have to worry about digital rights management is a big part of it to make sure people are getting compensated for their intellectual property.
Right.
Very complicated area of law. That's a good area to go poke at. Yeah.
And that was a lot of the questions that the judges asked about that was, how do publishers feel about this? How do writers feel about this? And then it was Just in Case got fourth. But in the other divisions, our other class, I think, did very well considering that they're in the division with the winner, which was ChemiCube. They were called Dragon Lights. They had a customizable LED software app and product. So the idea behind it was that you could string up your these LED lights, and it would you wouldn't need to tear them down and string up new ones depending on the season. For Halloween, you can make them orange and black. For Christmas, red and green, or whatever the color scheme you wanted. And they were really marketing it toward the maker industry. And makers love LEDs. I'm a maker, I should know. And so I think they did really well. I didn't see their pitch, but I'd seen it multiple times in the classroom. And I think they did very well in their competition, and I'm really proud of them.
Very good. So I know you're going into mechanical engineering. Did your experience, had you decided on ME before, or did this in some way influence what you're thinking about doing in the future?
I had decided on ME before, but I wasn't entirely sure what I wanted to do with that ME degree after. And now I'm fairly certain I want to start a startup. And whatever that startup might be, I'm glad that I had this opportunity to learn how to do that and all that it takes to start a startup. And I think with a mechanical engineering degree and this experience behind me, I should be.
Well, I have to give you, I have to give a pitch to my co-host here, who Andrea O'Brien here on the Business IQ show on 105.1, who is with the Small Business Development Center at UNH Manchester and is a wonderful resource for startup companies. Am I right, Andrea? Is this the kind of next generation person you're looking for to have as a client?
Exactly. Actually, I was going to say, if you need any help, let me know. And Don and I are available to join your team at any time.
Yeah, sounds great. Did you actually set up a reporting structure? I mean, did you have a VP of sales and a VP of development and a mark, you know, somebody to be the president or CEO? Or,
I mean, to be quite frank, we really didn't really know how far this would go in terms of outreach after this. And I think speaking to the representative from the Napoli group really solidified, like, the fact that this is viable. So we didn't really get that far, to be honest. This was still in its concept stage when we pitched it to the judges at BizGen.
Do you need a patent? Did someone suggest that you patent any of this, or?
A process patent it would be, because they're actually using off-the-shelf tools to do the measurement, right? So the best they could do is a process patent.
Exactly. So I should probably clarify that Ox Health doesn't actually create the products, though down the pipe, that's what we plan to do in our expansion plan. We use existing products and existing technologies that are already out there that buildings might just not know about. And so we draw awareness to that, help install it, and give you a targeted solution rather than a blanket one, mm-hmm. so it can really meet the budgets of the individual.
All right, because you said it's basically a consulting business.
Exactly.
Right, so you're not doing product development. You're applied technologists.
Right.
But year four or five or six, you never know.
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
Yes. They could be manufacturing.
Right. So,
or
yes.
Developing.
So the expansion plan actually called for the creation of an R&D team and the creation of a few technologies that we identify that could be helpful.
I see, yeah.
So I'm guessing that this has generated some interest among your former classmates there at Derryfield. I wish that we had Dr. Marsoni on the phone right now, because I'm guessing that there's got to be a lot of interest in doing this. This is an annual competition that I take it, so.
Yes, I believe it is.
Yes, yeah. Actually, we are going to have Ken Johnson, who is the founder and an organizer of BizGen, on the program in the next.
Oh, terrific.
Right, and he can talk to, but they're hoping to really increase the level of participation, you know, among the high school students in the state.
Well, I can tell you that the STEM and STEAM, you know, my exposure to them are from a little different direction, through some activities at different universities I'm affiliated with. And it is the area that's getting a lot of attention. And, of course, where the U.S. stands in terms of scientific knowledge, whether it be engineering or mathematics or technology in general, has really led to an interest in this area and is becoming a core curriculum. But we don't want to forget the athletics and the arts, which I think is the other parts of this that we're looking at. So, terrific. Very, very good. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'd like to ask him, what are you doing this summer?
So I have an internship down at a 3D printing startup in Somerville, Massachusetts. It's called Form Labs. They create SLA 3D printers, desktop SLA 3D printers. And that's a different type of 3D printer than most people are familiar with. It actually cures a resin and builds using resins rather than melting down plastic and laying it in layers. And they're based out of Somerville, Mass. So it's going to be somewhat of a commute, but it's nice and local startup, and I've been using their printer for a few years now, working on different research projects with that, and I'm excited to work there.
What have you made?
So my father has a dental practice here in Bedford, and so we were testing the accuracy of that printer.
You can give him a little plug if you like.
Yeah, it's Morali R. Ravel, DMDPC. He's in Bedford, right off of Jenkins and right off that intersection.
I've heard an excellent dentist, by the way.
Oh, thank you. So we were doing research with that printer, determining its accuracy in creating models and which they use to plan out treatment. And actually, when I got in touch with the people at Forum Labs telling them about this, and there were a couple other dentists, and they put us all in touch. And so I've been communicating around, and that dental research really introduced me to the printer and got me interested in Forum Labs. It was very cool.
Yeah, terrific, terrific stuff. And I guess the other part of what Andrew was alluding to is you've got this internship, you're going into mechanical engineering. Do you think that when you graduate, you're going to pick up on a topic related to this health consulting? Has the healthcare market, environmental health, has that captured your attention? Or
yeah, so at Northeastern, I'll also be minoring in biomechanical engineering, which has long been of interest to me. I enjoy kind of the intersection of biology and engineering. And I think that OX Health, or Ox Health, kind of gave me a different outlook. So instead of just medical devices, maybe I'm designing public health and environmental health.
Well, we have one of the world's greatest entrepreneurs and innovators, and Dean Kamen here in town in that particular field. So you just have to sort of look up the road and be inspired by a fellow who's making a real difference in people's lives. I know some people who in the military, unfortunately, were injured, and his work in prosthetics and doing things like this, changing their lives and giving them back their lives. So good for you. Best of luck with that.
Yeah. I just think it's amazing how programs like BizGen, you know, bring out the very entrepreneurial kids, young adults that are in New Hampshire. And hopefully when you are done, when they're done with their college educations, they come back to New Hampshire and, you know, kind of start that seedling company and use the resources that New Hampshire has to.
Yeah, and that's a key point that Andrew is bringing up here, which is there is a concern in the state that there is a flight out of the state of people like yourself and some of your classmates and colleagues looking to move to either Boston or Washington or some other places. So I would echo her comments. Put down roots. Stay here. We need you here. We need you creating businesses and creating jobs. And I will also disclose that Pratt and I had a quick, brief conversation off the air, and he is a drone fan, right? Am I correct? Am I misrepresenting you in that, or is that an accurate statement?
Oh, no, that's definitely an accurate statement. I like drones. I've been following the drone industry for a while. And I desperately want to create my own racing drone, hopefully 3D printed. So.
Yeah. So, you're going to 3D print it. Yeah. I was thinking that'd be a wonderful
application. Do they have drone races?
Yes. Actually, it's a new league that's kind of become more popular. It's first person drone racing. So you put on a pair of VR goggles and you have to drive the drone with the controller through a racetrack and objectives and everything. It's very cool.
Oh my gosh.
Drones are everywhere. They're all over, and the whole area of robotics. I think I might have mentioned again off the air that we're hoping to bring in some of the members of the Bedford High School robotics team. Because
yes.
This is the future. And as a mechanical engineer, you're going to get exposed to robotics for sure in your courseware.
Definitely. I've actually, I'm going to put a little plug in here for FIRST.
Yeah, please do.
I've been a part of FIRST for 7 years, and that's what really introduced me to robotics. That's Dean Kamen's company, or that's Dean Kamen's founding. And so with FLL, I started a Bedford FLL team called Lightning Legos. FIRST Lego League.
Okay.
Sorry, I should have clarified that. And from there, I moved into FRC, and which is the team that you FIRST Robotics Competition, which is one of the teams you guys are hosting. They're a great team based out of Bedford High School. And
509, I think, is
there. Yes, 509.
Right. Yeah.
I was with 1517 for a while. Now I'm with a different team up in Concord, which is very good. That's what exposed me to engineering, and I think FIRST Robotics is great for anybody, for business too. There's a lot of fundraising and pitching involved with FRC in terms of getting sponsors and investment and all of that. And I think FIRST Robotics is a great way to get into STEM, STEAM.
So it's not all battle bots, as I have seen on television between watching wrestling and some other shows that they have. You periodically run into the show where they have these very unusual robots that are trying to either set each other on fire or bang each other into existence. It's sort of pretty violent.
So that is very cool. I
can understand the appeal. I'm a guy. I understand the appeal. So
you're listening to WBNH FM 105.1, and today we have two guests, Dr. Marco Massoni, the STEAM and Innovation Director at the Derryfield School, and one of his students, and BizGen participant, Pratt Ravel. And his company, Pratt's company, was called Ox Health.
Sure.
OX Health?
Either one works. Oh, okay. I couldn't decide either.
And Pratt is going to Northeastern University and pursuing a degree in mechanical engineering and maybe biomedical mm-hmm. engineering as well.
So I promised Pratt that he could weigh in and if he wants to give a little pitch for Derryfield as a school. What did you think of Derryfield?
Yeah, so I was at Derryfield for 7 years. I started there in sixth grade. And I think that Derryfield as a school is just fantastic in the opportunity it gives you to connect to teachers. And Dr. Massoni, who is a new teacher this year, and I have connected along with a bunch of other teachers there. And I think that close relationship fosters an environment where you can bounce ideas off of everybody. And it's a very tight-knit and very accepting community, and I want to thank Derryfield for my 7 years of education there.
So I think we have to have a full disclosure here because we have another person in this room that has a Derryfield link. Is there any disclosure to be made, Mrs. O'Brien?
Yes, my son is also a Derryfield alum, and I can tell you that when they sent out the first round of alumni support letters, my son was the very first to send in, you know, a small amount, but he was so proud and happy to contribute to the annual fund. And he loves that school. I think it's, you know, something that you'll have forever. The experiences and friends and, you know, the faculty there is, you know, I can't say enough nice things about it. Dr. Mary Carter is the headmaster and has a fantastic philosophy on how to bring the very best to students at the Derryfield School, and I know they've got plans for expansion. I think there's a new athletic facility that they're putting in, and they're working very hard to really develop their STEAM/STEM program and really reaching out to business experts and creating those relationships that can just further enhance those programs for the kids. But, you know, other high schools do the same. And I know Bedford High, as you said, has an excellent school.
When your friends from the robotics class come on, we'll give them equal time to give an explanation as to why Bedford High is a terrific school, and it really is. I know that personally for a lot of reasons. Listen, Pratt, thank you very much for your time with us today.
Thank you,
and we wish you all the best of luck. We want you to be successful, create lots of jobs, stay here in New Hampshire, and come back and help us build more and more jobs. And please stay in touch with us.
I definitely will. Thank you very much for having me.
Great. Very, very good.
So, Don, are we going
to... Yep. We're at the end of our hour here. And I think what we want to do is we have a traditional sign-off. I'm sorry, we're a little tight on time here. So perhaps we won't have Pratt draw from the big kettle that we have of quotes here as we do every week. And I can hardly lift this thing up. It must weigh, you know, 130 pounds or something.
It's getting lighter each time.
That's right. It's getting lighter by each piece of paper. But I think you do have a traditional sign-off to keep our heritage going. So if you'd like to do that.
Pratt, if you'll just bear with us one more second. So, listeners, the thought we'd like to leave you with today is... You can spend more than you make, but you can only do it for so long. Bye-bye.